59. I thought we were on 69 for a minute, but 69, I promise that I'll have some slutty bird on to celebrate the 69th podcast. I don't know, maybe interview a raging horny girl, get some sex stories out of her. Anyway, this is 59, so we've got 10 more to go. The road is life. Sounds philosophical, sounds like mind wank, but it's not. Because even though it's inspired by Jack Kerouac, you could say by Casanova, by people that travel and look for notches, look for flags, maybe look for shallow hedonism, you might say, in the beginning. Live abroad, work remotely, passive income, all that stuff. It's what I've spoken about before, so I've got a guest on today who's been on another podcast, and rather than me saying how day game is possible abroad and how work is possible abroad, then we'll catch up with this guest and milk him for some day game stories and some business stories if you're trying to run a business and you're on the road. Talking of businesses on the road, cheeky upsells at the beginning of the podcast. I think you've got 6 days left as of today if you want to buy one of the Torero tees. They're not limited edition, but it's limited time because it's this kind of like a Kickstarter thing in that people order up until a certain date and then the product is shipped. So you've got 6 days left. Just click on the link below if you want to wear the horns with pride. If you want to read about underlying philosophies of being a black sheep, what we do, I wrote 3 articles on my blog. I was going to make them into some kind of book, but then I just thought, fuck it, and I wrote them on my blog. And they explain underlying things, not den game technique, but they talk about being polygamous, being in open relationships, not settling down, not getting married, etc., etc., and some of the criticisms you face and how to answer them. So that's all on the blog. Last week, I was moaning, maybe, I can't remember. I was moaning about the negative emails I get. I always mention the volume of negative emails I get every day. It's always a lovely thing to read in the morning. And something magical happened. This week, I've been flooded with positive emails. Guys that have moved abroad, guys that are getting laid, guys that have sorted something out in their life. And everyone I read, it's the bollocks. I don't have time today to read them all out, but I will in the future, maybe dedicate a whole podcast to them. But thank you to Christo in London and his mate, Rooney in Oslo. I know Mr. Rooney. I think you're in Madrid now, but well done and cheers for that email. Sung in Sydney, part of the day game team smashing Sydney apart. We'll come on to Sydney in a minute. And Marvin in Germany, who sounds like he's doing well. So good, there we go, positivity. And The Road is Life, podcast 59. Jack Kerouac, author of On the Road, he said, "Our battered suitcases were piled on the sidewalk again. We had longer ways to go, but no matter, the road is life." You might know the Beat novelist who sparked a generation of people on the road taking drugs and having sex. And people remember Jack Kerouac for pussy and drugs, whereas that book was about a road inwards. You know, he was looking for something more. Casanova, I've spoken about him before. You might have tried to read all 12 volumes. I recommend, if you want to get in on the Casanova thing, read the biography, not the autobiography. Read the biography by Ian Kelly. Get it off Amazon, and he goes through the evidence for what Casanova really did, because Casanova's not lying in his accounts. He just gets a bit jumbled sometimes and mashes stories together, but Ian Kelly gives you the truth of where Casanova went. Obviously Rome and Venice, but Casanova lived in Paris and London. He made it to St. Petersburg and Moscow. He was in Prague and Vienna. He was in Munich. He was in Poland. He was in Madrid. He was in Riga. More than 100 lays. It's fucking ridiculous. So if anybody represents The Road is Life, it was Casanova. Read it. Ridiculously inspiring. All right. Our mystery guest is Ian. You might remember Ian from a podcast last autumn, I think. All right, Ian?
Hello. Yeah, nice to meet you.
Nice to see you again, man. We're sitting in a park surrounded by a few alcoholics and women on their smoke breaks. It is sunny. Europe is in full bloom with day game, really. It's quite hard to record this podcast and not be distracted by what's going on around us. But Ian has been, you've been in Australasia, you've been in Asia, now you're in Europe for the day game season, quote unquote. So can you tell us, can you tell the dear listeners not only about the notches, that's the happy side of things, the fun side of things, but dealing with life on the road, dealing with the volatile vibe, and as we were saying today over coffee, a volatile vibe because of trying to run a fucking business thousands of miles away from where your business is. So what happened since I saw you last time?
Yeah, well, it's been quite an interesting time since, I think it was September probably last time we did the podcast.
Yeah.
I've had my biggest challenges since I started my new life, which is, I guess it's just over 1.5 years ago now that I left my home city and started traveling, day gaming, working remotely. It was towards the end of last year that I encountered some pretty big issues with both of my businesses, which both cropped up within the space of an hour, unbelievably. And I was just a few hours before I was due to fly from Singapore over to Sydney. And I had a real kind of battle of whether I should go back to the UK, try and sort out all my business problems, or stay in Australia and try and tackle them from there. And in the end, I decided to take it as an opportunity to turn it into a positive. And if I could overcome the issues from so far away, then I really could live this life remotely and travel and not have to go back to the UK every time something goes a bit wrong.
Yep.
So I did. That's what I set out to do, but it had quite a knock-on effect on my vibe, you know, my mood, my day game for about 6 weeks or so. It was a drain. Mm. Yeah.
And so, as is typical, you think, God, vibe is sinking, must do more. It's like bailing out water from a Titanic life craft. So can you remember roughly the stats of that early time in Sydney with a few business problems in the background?
Yeah, I actually, at the start of this year, decided to be more of a geek and keep detailed stats on how many approaches I was doing, how many numbers I was getting, etc., etc. So when I got to Sydney, I was ill for about the first week, but the first girl I approached, I ended up sleeping with, which you would have thought would help boost my vibe, but it didn't. It just carried on deteriorating. So it was start of January. I thought, right, I just need to throw myself deeper into this. I need to do more rather than less, because I was umming and ahhing over, do I need a break? Do I need to take some time off? Because I felt like I was kind of losing a bit of the love for it. But I had all this stuff going on in the background, my businesses. But I thought, no, fuck it, I'll throw myself in. I'll just do more and more and more. So I did. I made that decision, I think, around the 6th of January to start keeping track. From the 6th of January to the end of January, I did 162 approaches. And then I got one lay right at the end of the month, which was the very same day, the very same moment. So I just finished putting the final pieces of the jigsaw together, of sorting my businesses. So I was getting some images and messages sent over on WhatsApp of everything getting sorted back in the UK, just so I'd bounce this girl back for a nice same day lay.
Happy days. And we should point out that before the business wobble, it wouldn't have taken you 130 to get laid.
Yeah.
Even in Sydney with the Sydney side of day game crew, an unbelievable group of day gamers. We should say hello to them if you're listening. I know you're listening to the podcast. Hello, boys in Sydney. It is remarkable how so many of you are in Sydney. What's it called? Pitt Street?
Pitt Street Mall.
Oh yeah. My God.
Day game capital of the world.
Jesus, it really is now. It's perhaps overtaken London and New York with the volume of day gamers. Anyway, hello, Sydney. Right, so business sorted, vibe improving, got that notch, and then you're hitting the road again. You hit the road. And surprise, surprise, new destination, happier vibe. What happened?
Yeah, so it was quite a turnaround. So a few days after that lay, I flew off to New Zealand. Spent a week in Auckland.
Beautiful place.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing city.
Dream.
But I actually, within the space of sorting out those issues with my business, I picked up four lays in, I think it was 18 days from 39 approaches.
Jesus Christ, man. 4 lays, 18 days. How many approaches?
39 approaches.
Yeah, you get the badge, you know, from the day game club. They send you the special like Blue Peter badge.
But it was just, yeah, it was just as soon as I had that weight off my back of the business problems and going to a new location as well. Even though Auckland just seemed like a dreadful place for day game, I was just convinced after 2 days that I'd made a massive mistake of deciding to stay there for a week. But it worked out nicely. I got 2 lays in my last 2 days in Auckland.
They must have been same-day lays, were they, or near same-day lays?
One was a same-day lay with a very nice French girl, first French girl I'd slept with. And then the following day with a married Indian girl.
Shame on you. What's the story with the backpacker, or the pickup of the pickup, hitchhiker, what was that?
Yeah, so I left Auckland, hired a car, hit the road, and it was when I was in the South Island. I was driving from, I think it was Greymouth to Westport, along the amazing coastal road. Every sort of 5-10 minutes I was stopping.
That's a child, not a girl.
every 5-10 minutes I was stopping and taking pictures of this amazing coastline. And then I pulled in at one point to take some more pictures and noticed this sort of cute girl that I just managed to avoid running over. Just, you know, in the middle of nowhere, really. It was just like, it's very random. So got chatting to her. She was about to start hitchhiking to Westport, which is where I was going. So, jump in, give you a lift.
Dirty, dirty man.
And that went very nicely. It was I think it was about a 20-hour romance.
Yeah.
Beautiful little 20 hours. Took her to Westport.
Were you laying on the game as you were driving and flirting in the car, and then what, some walking food?
As soon as we got in the car, it was just like going on an instant date, really. And then we stopped off two or three times along the drive back to Westport, climbing down onto the beach, climbing down this like cliff face together. So immediately just these little adventures. Got to Westport. Dropped her at her hostel. She was just going to have a quick shower, get changed. I was going to grab some food, and then we were going to meet up for a drink. And at that point, I was thinking, yeah, you know, she's cute. She wasn't stunning, but she was cute. She was nice.
Yeah.
So then I meet her an hour later, and she's gone up like 2 points. Like, yeah. She'd done her hair, had a shower,
shaved
like,
her beard.
The beard was all gone. And that was it. And then one drink, nice walk along the river, back to where I was staying. She stayed over. Nice 3-hour walk along the beach the next day.
Oh, I love it.
And then back in my car, drove her half the way to her next destination till the point I needed to go in a different direction, and just left her at the side of the road.
She had a limp. She couldn't walk anymore after you had your wicked wave. That is a lovely story. That is a beautiful story, because it's not just a grotty notch.
No,
like a nightclub. A notch in a toilet covered in vomit. That's like a whole experience, and that's what I remember more. You know what I mean? You remember the sex, but you remember like the whole magical bubble.
Yeah, it was a mini 20-hour romance.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
You must have been buzzing off that. Was that your last lay in New Zealand?
It was, yeah. Yeah. I nearly got another one at the end of my trip, but that was the last lay in New Zealand, yeah.
And then back to Australia?
Yeah, I went back to Australia, went to the Blue Mountains for a few nights.
We've adopted a child here, a future day game. He's about 4 years old, maybe 3, completely unsupervised. I love Central Europe.
Went back to Sydney, went for a 3-night break in the Blue Mountains with a girl I had been sleeping with in Sydney, who was the one I slept with for my first approach back there. I was sort of seeing her for most of my time in Sydney, on and off. And then off to Brisbane, where I really needed to catch up on some work by that point, because I had really been neglecting it since sorting out my work issues, going to New Zealand. So I spent about 2.5 weeks in Brisbane, knuckling down and getting some work done.
Yeah.
Bit of day game, but vastly less.
Yeah.
And
I think it's good to have those feast and famine periods, you know. What do they call it in agriculture, where you just let a field lie? And after, I often feel a bit gluttonous. Like, I know other day games get ill, like they get the flu. If you have a run of like 5 birds in 7 days, which sounds like every man's dream, like then you think, all right, like Casanova, had many other irons in the fire. You know, Jack Kerouac, if you read On the Road, it's not just pussy, 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 pussy. There's a man who's like on a thing. These are nice moments in On the Road, but this isn't the road. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and Brisbane's a great place to just chill and concentrate on something else.
It's a nice place to relax. The, you know, accommodation's a bit cheaper there compared to Sydney and stuff. So it's a good place to just chill out. I've got some friends there from previous visits, so yeah, it's good.
And then it was via Asia back to the wonderful UK.
Yeah, I went back to Sydney for a bit after that. Picked up another lay there with she wasn't crazy until I got her in bed, Chinese girl. She didn't seem crazy at all until I got her in bed, and then I'm surprised nobody phoned the police.
Yeah.
And then, back to UK via short little break in Singapore, catch up with family.
Well, Singapore was another near miss, but a classic kind of dedicate your whole night to night game-ish stuff and then nothing to show for it in the end.
Yeah, actually, it was a really good night. I enjoyed it in a way, but it kind of had its ups and its downs. I went out for a date with a girl I had met in Brisbane, but lived in Singapore. When I'd met her in Brisbane, she'd just flown out there to return the engagement ring to her what was fiance. So we agreed to meet up when I hit Singapore, and it started off just, you know, quite nice. Went to a bar, had a couple of drinks, ridiculously expensive bar, which thankfully she just picked up the tab. She's like, oh, you're visiting Singapore.
Nice.
Okay, so I was like, yeah, okay. And then we went to another bar, some of her friends were there, turned into quite a big group by this point. Again, they were just buying like lots of drinks. I wasn't paying for anything. One of her friends knew a very rich guy at a bar nightclub on like the 62nd floor of this crazy tall building. So off we headed there on the guest list. And then this super rich dude playing like high-end provider game with this large table and lots of bottles of Grey Goose and gin and everything. He's just help yourself. So obviously I did the right thing and helped myself quite considerably. And had quite a lot of fun in the club. The guy, the high-end provider game rich dude, was trying to get with the best friend of the girl I was on the date with.
Which sounds like a dream wingman. Mm. But therein lies the problem of providers.
Yeah.
Lack of knowledge, basic knowledge.
Yeah, I had a little word with him at one point saying, look, you know, you isolate her, I'll isolate mine, we'll split them off.
Yeah.
Job done.
Yep.
And he agreed, but he just had no ability whatsoever to try and come through with it. So I spent quite a few hours in the club, split off from the girl I was with, and went off with some American dude and made out with a few little Asian chicks, which was fun, and then eventually back to this grand table where it must have been like 3 o'clock in the morning. I was just done. I was quite pissed and I was hungry and I thought, right, I'm going. So I said to the girl I was with, let's go. She's like, yeah, okay, yeah. And then her best mate's like, oh, I come. And then the rich dude, he looked rather pissed off and annoyed with me for taking his girl away. I was pissed off with him for just not doing his job and isolating her in the first place. So yeah, it was an unhappy end. We all went and got some food and the best friend just wouldn't leave. So
yeah.
No end result, but a fun night.
Well, losses, got to take the losses on the chin, you know? Guys forget that there's more losses in game than wins. I keep saying that and it shocks a lot of people. Really? You lose more than you win? Yeah, you do. It's like very much like Vegas gambling. If you're a pro gambler, you're going to lose more than you win. As long as you're winning long term over the year, and every year you're getting a little bit better, all is well. But yeah, that's a good message about being on the road and taking the losses, because when you come to make a podcast or write a book, such as, I don't know, a book like Torero Travels, available from the link below, you read it and the criticisms I get are guys go, well, it's a lay report, then it's another lay report, then this book has 30 lay reports. You know, and then, hang on, I went to Germany and it didn't work, like you said, and therefore all this is bullshit, you know. You say, yeah, well, a book of lay reports is full of lay reports, and a podcast like this, we could have sat down and gone through 30 like flake numbers, but number one, I don't really remember them. I have that filtration system where I don't remember negative experiences, and I usually don't write down the failed lays unless it was like a blowjob, or it came so close, you know? Do you write down lays that almost happened? Because in 10 years' time, you won't remember these lays that almost happened.
Not really, no. Rarely. Only if I feel there's something I can learn from it and change. So sometimes I'll give it a little mini review and think, okay, what could I have done a bit differently? So then I'll write it down. But generally, I try to just move on from things that haven't worked out and concentrate on the positives.
I was telling our mutual friend here yesterday, I think, that I've had two horrible blue ball LMR moments. You know when you get 99.999% of the way there and you lose the lay? That's way worse than a kill flaking. And I've had that where we are now because of this filming project. My philosophy has just been, go as hard player as you can. And it's definitely not a good strategy here. I've won a few, but it's leading to losses. So yeah, I agree, taking something from the loss. All right, here's a question. Guys are listening to this going, all right, Ian's traveled around the world and is sleeping with girls around the world. How does a girl differ in country X? What is the difference between sex in country X with country Y? This is classic, right? A guy wants a detailed report on why that Chinese girl was different to game than the girl in New Zealand. And I constantly argue from Singapore to LA, there's not really much difference. Married to single, there's not much difference. Muslim to Christian, there's not much difference. Even 35-year-old girl to 18-year-old girl, there's not that much difference. You know what I mean? With the street stop, the texting, the dating, and the pool. Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I think from my experience so far, there is very little difference, really, apart from what they might tell you, what they are saying. So the Chinese girl in Sydney, she was saying a lot of things. That was a day three lay, so second date. And she was saying a lot of stuff on the first date that very much, you know, appeared as if it's going to take you a long time to sleep with me kind of thing. I don't just sleep with anyone. She'd had been with one guy for 8 years. So everything she was saying was suggesting this is going to take a long time. But then second date, I didn't even bother saying let's go to a bar. I just said come to mine, we'll get a takeaway. She brought a bottle of wine over. We watched Vicky Cristina Barcelona, actually.
Wonderful.
My first Vicky Cristina Barcelona lay. First time I've watched it with a girl. So that's the secret.
I tell you, I should be getting royalties off Woody Allen for that fucking film. But it's a great date film. Just watch it. Yeah, good.
Yeah. Within about an hour, halfway through the film, down to business, easy, no LMR.
Yeah.
But everything she had said would suggest it wasn't going to be that easy. So in my experience so far, and I've had the same just
had,
a few days ago.
You had
ago,
one here the other day, with a Russian.
Yeah.
Now this is a really great example of a guy listening to what the girl says rather than listening to what she does normally. So especially from a Russian, a Ukrainian, a Belarusian, anything former Soviet Union, what kind of things was this girl presenting to you?
Yeah, so she was 21-year-old Russian girl. It was our first date, so I don't know, about 45 minutes into the date or so, I asked her how many relationships she'd had. I think that was sort of one of the first probing kind of questions, which she said zero. She had never had a boyfriend. I thought, okay. And then I asked another question, which I always ask girls, is if you could have one night of passion with anybody in the world, nobody will ever know, apart from me, because you're going to tell me, who would you choose to have it with?
That's a brilliant question, yeah.
And she said, there is no one, because I would only have sex if I was in love, and I am not in love with anyone, so there is no one in the world I would want to have sex with. Yeah. And then she went on to tell me about friends of hers that sleep with men on first dates, and guys they don't know very well, and how wrong she thinks it is.
And here's the rub, right? This is, guys go, oh, fucking liar. She doesn't really think these things. She's playing me. Right? But a girl, honestly, in the moment, believes that sentence to be true. Mm. I read yesterday, I think I was telling you or our mate, that a girl goes through 76 emotions, different emotions in one day. A man goes through under 20. So when she said that stuff to you, like, I need love for sex, something in her body was telling the truth.
Yeah.
But then when you, as you're going to say, when you delve deeper,
it was genuine, you know, what she said seemed genuine. And I had one voice in my head saying, oh, well done, you know, well done, Ian, you've picked a fucking Miss Innocent.
Goody two.
Yeah, you, this is a 3-4 date job at best. And then I quickly just thought, no, shut up, shut that voice up. Yeah. Thought, just ignore it, you know, just roll with what's happening, just ignore what she's saying. And then a couple of hours later, back at my flat, started kissing, no LMR, into bed, fucked her twice that night, again in the morning, and then, yeah, just gave her the little post-sex interview, you know. I said, so what happened with... first of all, I asked her, because I thought, well, in theory, she must be a virgin, you know, so I asked her in the morning, so how many guys have you slept with? And she said, two. I said, okay, so what happened to, you know, the love, wanting to be in love, having to be in love? And she said, well, I believe in being spontaneous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My dad used to say, change their mood, not their mind. If you see women as kids or puppies, you know, when a toddler has a bit of a tantrum, you don't freak out and take them seriously. You just give them a sticker and then they smile. A second later, same with a puppy, you like waggle a tennis ball and it's immediately happy. That's so misogynistic, you're saying women are like children. It's totally true. It's totally true. So rather than, I think at that moment when she says, I'm not coming in, or I'm not coming into your room, or I'm not sitting on your bed, logical guy freaks out, the instinct is to get argumentative, or even the sulky face. Now the sulky face gives away that you're fucked.
Yeah.
You're fucked. So breathe at that moment, really breathe in and turn away. Or with Russian girls, I breathe in and I go to the bathroom. Just go, calm down, calm down, calm down. Roll the plan, execute the program. But good stuff, man. That's a ridiculous amount of smashing, from like a wobbly vibe in the winter to really just kicking off the season. We've only just started here. Europe has just really got good for day game. The girls are definitely in sexy moods with their skirts. Everything's on show. They're all watching what they eat because they want to look nice and thin. Heels are out here. God, it's fucking brilliant, isn't it? And you're now back in Europe, bit of the summer, maybe pushing Russia.
Yeah.
Can you hint at where you might go, Casanova style?
I'll spend summer in Europe. On my next trip, I'll be going to Kiev to check that out for the first time.
Yep.
In a few weeks. With a good friend that's also here with us.
Yeah.
And I'll be going to Prague, but that's not just for day game, but I will day game, but I'm going to a concert there with some friends from back home. And then rest of the summer, I definitely want to go back to Russia at some point, but I'll need to go back to the UK, get a visa.
Yeah.
I'd like to go to Sofia.
Bulgaria.
Yeah. And then just go with the flow, really. I just want to be as free to kind of hop about and go with the flow as possible.
Yes.
And see where it takes me.
Yes.
And then I think probably go to Spain towards the end of the year, maybe a month, just to, when it's starting to get cold in Central Europe, go to Barcelona, which is a favourite city of mine, not just for day game, just a beautiful city. And then back home, spend Christmas with family because I was away last year. And then probably South America.
South America. Yeah. Yes. Let's see how we're doing. We're almost at half an hour. That was good. And for guys that are new to my site or the podcast, they're thinking, number one, who's this Ian bloke? Well, just listen to the other podcast. I think it's called Fake It Till You Make It. I can't remember the number of it. But you talk about your businesses and life on the road. Don't be lazy, guys. Come on, FloMad is free now to watch on YouTube. So just watch that. I think in total that's a couple of hours. And at the end of that, I go through how to run a day game trip to Prague. And you see me with the accommodation and the venues and what to take and what to pack. So come on, it's all for free. Stop moaning. And if you really want to get into what Ian does and what I do, and now what more and more guys do, you have to read 4-Hour Work Week. Yeah, it's not perfect. It's now a bit dated. You could say it's a bit idealistic. He's a little bit OCD, trying to outsource brushing his teeth and his text messages and stuff. But I know you read it and it changed your life. I read it. It changed my life as much as Neil Strauss's The Game. So I do owe Tim Ferriss a bit, even though I think he's a bit blue pill. I think he's a bit woolly. I think he's a bit smoke and mirrors. But I what did you think of 4-Hour Work Week?
Yeah, it was a great book that gave me the inspiration to change everything, but it shouldn't be read as a manual on how to, but it just gave me, it woke me up to thinking, yes, I can change this, I can, you know, because I'd just been stuck in the same life for a long time, not particularly happy, and it woke me up, gave me the motivation, and I changed it, rather than thinking this is a manual, this will explain exactly how to.
Yeah. If Jack Kerouac or Casanova had Wi-Fi, a credit card, and a laptop, and Casanova would have been on Tinder, he was doing a lot of social circle stuff, Casanova would have been running couch surfing schemes and stuff. But Jack Kerouac, if he had had Wi-Fi and a credit card and what we have now, yeah, it would be laughable to stay in one place. Bless him, he ended up as an alcoholic, so that was the end of Jack Kerouac. But yeah, read On the Road as well. That's homework for this week. We were just talking about countries that are really untouched for day game because they seem quite scary or remote. I've done 47 countries just for day game. I've traveled to more countries, but 47 just for day game. The Middle East is still to be conquered. Not in that way, but in terms of vagina. I want to go to Georgia, Azerbaijan, Turkmenistan, more of the stands. I did Kazakhstan last year with Eddie from Street Attraction, and it was all right. Russian bodies, Asian faces, not my kind of thing, but untapped, you know. Lebanon still on the list, Beirut, but obviously people are wary of that. Bosnia, hitting more of the Balkans. Bosnia, rough and ready. Moldova, I'm heading to quite soon, and Ethiopia. Right, and everyone pulls the same face when you say Ethiopia. Ethiopia, I remember Bob Geldof. But you ask anyone that's done a lot of African travel, even ask African girls, even in South Africa, say, where are the hottest African women? They all say Ethiopia, Addis Ababa, because that's where catwalk models come from. They're tall, they've got the cheekbones of Russians, and I don't think a day game has ever been to Addis Ababa. There's some sleazy sex tourists doing provider game there, Americans, but no, that's on my list. So we did mention, I won't say where we mentioned, another country which you could call extreme day game. Chance of being kidnapped or arrested and hands chopped off, pretty high. I'm not talking about Dubai, something even more extreme. It'd make a good viral video, that anyway. Right, we'll leave it there, I think. That was podcast 59. Thank you, Ian.
Thank you.
Maybe next time, yeah, maybe in one of those locations we just said, maybe in the autumn, and you'll have a summer's worth of stories of debauchery, or you'll have given up, got married, yeah, and have two kids and a car and a cat, and then we will laugh at how innocent and naive we were. Right, from Central Europe, speak to you next week. Ta-da.
Bye.